Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning, Portland and the great Pacific Northwest. You're listening to Investing Simplified. This is your opportunity to ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. In studio with me is Carl Jepson.
Good morning.
Attorney at law.
I am. And I'm here, and it's cold.
And he's here, and he doesn't have his caffeine today, but he's all pumped up and ready to go. He's got an energy drink, and he's ready, right?
This is all natural, though. You gave it to me, right?
That's right. It's all natural. Yeah. It's okay. All natural. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, if you've got a question about estate planning or about investing, pick up the phone. Give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. And listen, we'll answer your questions. Unfortunately, or fortunately for Kevin Stege, our local CPA, he is taking a little break and having a little vacation time down in Columbia. And we hope he's having a great time. He probably slept in this morning, so we're hoping he's having a good time on his vacation.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see him next week, I think.
Yep, absolutely. Well, listen, I spent this week doing some training and educational things, and I was given something that I think is really important about where Americans' priorities really are lying. What are we really doing in America? Now, I'm not talking politically. I'm talking about financially, since I'm the investment guy, and that's really kind of my bag. But I want to give you some numbers here, and I think this is kind of alarming when you really think about it. If you're not planning your estate plan, and if you're not planning your investment plan for retirement, you really need to do it, because a lot of people are not. Let me just go through this. Spending. 49% of all adults spend more than they earn each month.
Sounds like the government.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are all kind of like monkeys. We see and we do, you know. And we've seen our federal government just keep deficit spending. And now 49% of Americans are spending more than they make each month. Think about it. Just think about these statistics as I go through them. Retirement plans. 31% of the working households have no access in the workplace to retirement plans at all. Now, the source of this information on this one was Fidelity Investments. Think about that. 31% have no access to any kind of a retirement plan. 80.9% of employers offer some type of employer contribution, including match or profit sharing. That's good. That's a good thing. But it's the ones who don't have an employer that are not putting the money away. That's a fact. Cash cushion. 65.2% of adults have less than $1,000 in cash or savings accounts. Now think about that. 65.2% of adults, that means 18 and above in America, have less than $1,000 in cash. Credit cards. 42% of adults ages 25 to 54 have credit card debt. 23% of adults ages 25 to 54 do not have a credit card. Good for them. 36% of adults aged 25 to 44 have a credit card and debt. Well, again, that's better to not have it, but if you got it, pay it off and get rid of it. Listen to this, emergency fund. 83% of adults have less than 3 months of income in cash or a savings account. And that's basic financial planning, as we tell people. You need to have 3 to 6 months. Got to get talking there. 3 to 6 months of savings of what you need to live on in a savings, in a short-term savings account for an emergency fund. So, you know, the numbers are not, 83% are not doing it. That's kind of shocking. 17% of adults have 3 months of income in cash or savings. So only 17% of the people are doing half of what basic financial planning tells you how to do. That ought to be alarming. It should be alarming to you if you're listening to the show. Okay, we got a question here. Jim's got a question on a withdrawal of an IRA at 69. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Would you go ahead and ask your question?
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
I need to know what exact time I need to start to withdraw my IRA and how do I go about doing that.
Okay. Now, you're 69 now, right?
Yes, I'm 69 and 7 months.
Okay. What month will you turn 70 in?
February.
Okay, so in February of next year, you're going to turn 70. You're going to turn 70 and a half in August.
Okay.
And that means that you're going to have to take an RIA contribution before December 31st.
I've got several of them. Do I need to take them out of each one?
No, you do not. But here's something I want to caution you about. If you do not take the right amount, there's a 50% IRS penalty plus taxes.
50% of what?
Well, okay, let's say, I'm just going to give an example here. Now, this isn't you, Jim, but let's say you had $100,000 in IRAs.
Okay.
You got four different accounts, each got $25,000 in them. The value on December 31st of 2017 was $100,000, or is going to be $100,000.
Okay.
You're going to turn 70 in February. So.
Right.
In August, you're going to, between August and the end of the year, you're going to look at your account and say, okay, my value was $100,000 on December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take, and I'm just, it's actually 3.7%, but I'm going to use 4%.
Okay.
Simple math. So 4% of $100,000, you have to take out $4,000.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you take it out of one account or you take $1,000 out of each account. You have to take the $4,000 out. If you don't take the $4,000 out by December 31st, you will be hit with a penalty of $2,000, half of it.
Half of that.
Yeah, so you don't want to mess that up.
And I also have to take out the $4,000 at some point in time.
Well, that's right. You've got to pull the money out. So,
yeah.
And when you pull it out, you got to pay income tax on it.
And just because I pull it out doesn't mean I have to spend it. I can put it in a savings account or a CD if I want to.
Oh, absolutely. Most of our clients, quite honestly, when they take their RMD, required minimum distribution, they pay the taxes and they usually invest the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they invest the difference. So, yeah, most people do at 70 and a half. Some people need it for income. That's a whole different story.
Right. Well, I'm hoping not to need that for a while. But
yeah, I just
don't want to spend it because I pulled it out of the IRA.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, Jim. I want you to understand. You have to get the total values of those IRAs on December 31st of this year. That is going to tell you how much you have to take out next year.
So December 31st is when I need to make a bottom line amount and then determine that. And when August comes around next year or before?
Well, here's the thing. Sometime during the tax year, you have to take it out prior to December 31st of that year. So whether you take it, you could take it out in January, you could take it out in February, you could take it out in August, you could take it out in December, but do not take it out after December 31st or you'll get hit with that penalty.
So So the August deadline is not really a deadline. I just have to do that within that year.
Okay, that August deadline is the trigger that says your tax is now due, my friend. And you have to pay this by December 31st, or you will be hit with a penalty. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. Good question, Jim.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. If you need any help, let us know.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We've got Roger on the line. Carl, right down your line. He's got an estate planning question. Roger, are you there?
I am, and I've got a two-part question. I think it's one question for each of you guys this morning.
Okay.
So I'll start out with the estate planning one. I've got an 89-year-old father. I'm the executor for the estate. He's still going strong. He's got a trust account, and I'm the trustee, and then an IRA. And everything seems to be taken care of in there, but I noticed that he has a checking account with an associated credit card that we've been paying bills out of. I'm the executor. My other brother has a living power of attorney. And I was wondering, when Dad passes away, then there's going to be a problem with that checking account, is there not? Because he's the only name in it. So I'm wondering what I would need to do to make sure that I have access to it. And he's in Indiana, by the way, not Oregon. I have access to it so I can pay bills and distribute, you know, he'll get some pension fund monies coming in at the end. Because it seems like right now I would not be able to access it until it went through probate, which would take a while.
Well, how much? Well, there again, this is going to be Indiana law if he lives in Indiana. So
yeah,
so that, you can't, that so I'm going to have to tell you kind of what you need to look for. You might want to talk to an Indiana attorney. But the first thing I'd do would probably be to. I think what I would do is, it seems like it might be a little bit late. He could do one of two things, I think, right now that would solve the problem. One, he could, if he can manage this at 89 and stuff, he could go to the bank and he could take the money and the account, and he could then put it in the trust. And if you put it in the trust and you're the successor trustee, then as soon as he passed or became incapacitated, you'd have access to the money.
So, but there'll be last minutes. He has no mobility.
Okay.
Mentally, he's sharp, but physically, he's not.
Right.
And who knows when he could pass. And then there'd be some monies coming into that account for sure,
mm-hmm.
Even after he passed away.
Sure.
So.
Sure, but that's the other thing. I guess the other thing you could do, I guess, is open a trust account and just not put and take all of the money that's in there out of it. But then again, that's the same problem. He doesn't have the practical ability to do that, and so that's a problem because he can't get there. Some banks will send an emissary to you to do that sort of thing, but very few of them.
Roger, excuse me a second. Who's paying his bills?
Right now, my brother is, as living power of attorney.
Is your brother there in Indiana?
No, he's here. We're both in Oregon.
Oh, okay.
So he can do that, but once Dad dies, as I understand it, there goes your living power of attorney.
That's correct.
So, now it's up to me, but since Dad's name is the only one on the account, I couldn't get it, because it's not in an IRA, it's not in a trust. Then that's going to delay things, and I'm wondering if we should set up a joint.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what I was going to say. The problem is, you could certainly do that. You could set it up as a joint account with you, just individually, with the understanding, of course, that it's his money and that it's going to be. How much money does he keep? A lot of money in this account?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. Here's the other thing that you might give you a little bit of relief, and that is that here in Oregon we have what's called a small estate. And if you have less than $75,000 in an account like that, there's a fairly simple process to get the money out as an heir or as a trustee, as a personal representative, whoever you happen to be that qualifies. And so that would be one thing. And most states have some form of that kind of law. And so I think if you would just Google Indiana and say, you know, what are the requirements of a small estate in Indiana, and I'll bet you it'll lead you to some answers. And if there's an easy summary, you know, or a small estate process, then you don't have to worry about it. But if you really want to make it more immediate and simple, you could, you know, turn that into a joint account.
Okay.
You could get a transfer on death or a beneficiary designation type thing on the account to be paid to you as trustee. But there again, dad's going to have to fill out some forms, and you're going to have to fill out some forms. And quite frankly, is this a national bank?
I'm assuming.
It
is
like a
U.S. Bank
US
or
Chase
Bank
or Bank of America.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the reason I say that is because a lot of times they'll make you come down and show some ID so that they know who you are and they get a signature card from you and that kind of stuff, which I think you can do if you work with their management. You can do that by going to the branch here and communicating with the branch there and that kind of stuff. So you might have to jump through some hoops, but you could do it, and it makes good sense for you to do it now while he's sharp enough to give them some instructions to do that.
All right. All right, thanks for that. Here's the second part, and this ties into Chuck's depressing statistics that he listed at the beginning of the show.
Sorry about that.
Unfortunately, I fall into it. Thanks to many dumb life decisions, basically I'm going to be living on Social Security when I retire, if I ever get to retire. So I'm wondering, there'll be a small amount of money, which I'll probably inherit from Dad. I'm 65 now, 66, obviously, in a little over a year. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on, I'm going to continue to work for a long time, but I've been looking at the Social Security statistics, and at full retirement, I get a certain amount, and whatever else I earn, I'm not taxed on. Or I can wait till 70 and get another another 32% per month. But I also look at what Social Security says. They're going, well, by the year 2034, benefits may be cut because there's not enough payroll taxes, and we're always hearing how Social Security is in jeopardy. So do you have any thoughts on whether I should start taking Social Security benefits at 66 and trying to bank as much as possible, though I live in expensive Portland, or wait till 70 and try and gut it out?
Well, here's you've got a double-edged sword. You obviously have good genes because your dad's, 89?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So you got longevity on your side, which is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. The problem is, if you take Social Security, will you actually take the money and invest the difference? And if you do invest it, can you make 8% on it? And I'm telling you right now, I don't know anybody that's making 8%, consistently year in and year out. Just is very hard to do. And here's the thing. If they ever cut Social Security, which I personally do not believe they ever will, because if they do, they will have a revolution like we've never had, maybe since the original revolution, because there's just too many people in America that are dependent on that Social Security check.
Uh-huh.
And you would see everybody coming out of their rocking chairs, and we would have a full scale war, and it would start with probably the lynching of Congress and all the politicians, and so I don't think those guys would ever do that. They can say and give the warning, but the fact is, if they do, they would have chaos with about 150 million Americans. And they're just not going to do that. I mean, I think there may have to be some adjustments, but here's the thing. Even if they adjust it and you've got 32% more, the adjustment's going to be based on the higher amount, not the lower amount. So if I were you, I would, if you don't need the income, I would defer taking my Social Security and take it at 70.
All right.
Yeah, because, I'd like to tell you, we can get you 8%, but the reality of the world right now is 8%, the markets may be doing good, but historically over time, the S&P hasn't done anywhere near 8%.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you for certainty you could do that. And I like for certain versus uncertainty.
Got it.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, thanks very much for all the information.
Hey, thanks, Roger. Good questions. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Listen, pick up the phone. We've had two really good calls, And give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. What you don't know can hurt you, so you need to ask the questions.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney, with Carl's Comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and well, money. Welcome back to Investing Simplified. And Chuck was accused of depressing statistics, and my comment today. And remember, today we're in the fall now, I think, and it's sure cold enough to be in the fall. And so let's talk about how falling can impact your estate plan. And so I'm going to have, and I've got some kind of depressing statistics here. Falling for senior people is an amazingly challenging and difficult and dangerous thing. And most of us don't want to ever think about the possibility of it. And it seems like such a, you know, mundane thing that it might not be worthy of our planning. But nonetheless, here's some statistics that might be interesting for you. One-third of people greater than 65 fall once or more each year. Uh-huh. Number two, falls that most common injury in the United States for injury for people, and it's the sixth leading cause of death for seniors, falling. And one half who suffer hip fractures never regain their pre-fall level of functioning. And that can mean a lot of different things. That could be really scary. That can mean they might not be able to walk as well. They might not be able to walk at all. It also means that they may have a significant drop in cognitive functions. I don't know exactly how all that works, but I've seen it a number of times, including with my parents. My mom had two broken hips over a couple of years, once on the left and once on the right, and each time her health and cognitive ability dropped again. The physician that did the first surgery told us that there's a 50% chance of mortality in 1 year after a hip fracture for most people if they're over their certain age, and I think it's in their 70s or 80s. And so that's another thing. And my mom outlived that one by a long way, but my dad didn't. He hit it right about to the year when he broke his hip. It was about a year later that he passed away. So anyway, just to have the depressing part of it. Close to half of the people who are admitted to long-term care facilities as a result of hip fracture. 40% of the falls that require hospitalizations are hip fractures, and almost all of the, or not all, but many or most of the hip fractures or the falls take place in the home. So this is something that is like, you know, no news at all. It's just that it happens all the time. We probably all know people who have taken falls, some worse than others, and some will admit them and some won't. And so that's the thing that we want to think about. But here's how we have some impact for estate planning. First of all, a big fall might require a greater in-home care service. You know, you might have to have some people in there that you didn't have before. You may require assistance in asset management. If you fall and hit your head and you're no longer able to clearly think, you may have to have somebody doing your bills and stuff. It could require long-term care. You could find yourself in a situation where you could no longer be managed at home. and you know, some kind of memory care or nursing home care, and that's a scary thing for most everybody. And yet, I've known numbers of people who have gone from perfectly functioning to in one of those places because of a fall. You know, they have a head injury that, you know, and things are just you know, it's, and that's an instant. It's just like, you know, I had a high school classmate of mine who was walking his dog, and he tripped and fell and hit his head, and he died. And, you know, I mean, it was really sad because he just retired. He'd had a great job. He had a great pension. He had just gotten married for the first time in his life. Had a little dog. He's walking out there, and he falls on his head, and he died. And so, you know, and he wasn't like, you know, somebody that was decrepit or not able to walk or not able to, you know, manage things. He just had a bad experience. And it's, so that kind of stuff can sure happen. And so other kind of impacts, of course, it can result in, you know, quite frankly, it could result in an injury that might result in having to have a guardian or a conservator appointed for you. Which is a real scary business too, because then all of a sudden, all control pretty much of your life has just gone out to somebody else. It may require heroic efforts in terms of rehabilitation. A lot of times, you know, the hip fractures and or head injuries and things require some huge amounts of investment of time and energy and pain and suffering to do the rehabilitation, and so that can be a really rough deal too. And we have our resident expert on hip rehabilitation here in the studio, and I'm sure he can attest to that.
Absolutely.
So now he didn't hit his head though, so that's good. That's good.
That could be debatable.
Well, So, and the other thing, you know, some more practical kinds of things that happen. It might require you to have some modifications done to your home so that you can still stay there. And all of this stuff is undoubtedly going to cost, you know, some money. So what are we going to do to keep, you know, keep from looking for you? You know, that's like that song, you know. What are they going to do when they come for you, old boy? Well, you know, you got to think about that in advance to make it work. And that's why you talk to your lawyer, among other things. So the first thing I would think is, you know, you need to give some authority to somebody else to manage your affairs if something really bad happens to you. There are a couple of ways to do that. You can do a living trust. You can, in that or in other documents, you can put what we would call a nomination for a guardian and conservator just in case that becomes a reality. And that can happen even if you have a trust, depending on the circumstances. You need to consider who you might want as fiduciaries. You know, every now and then I hear people say, yeah, my son told me that that he had to be nice to me because he was going to control my home later. And I, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, maybe you don't want to do that. So anyway, that's one thing, you know, consider those people and are those people capable? Are they honest and trustworthy? And do they have the temperament and do they have the time? You know, being a trustee can be a very time consuming and difficult job. And if that person's, you know, working full time or raising children or whatever it is that they're doing, do they really have the time to do that? And do they really have the inclination or do you need somebody who, yeah, you're gonna have to pay somebody to do that, but maybe you have to do that. Sometimes that's much better choice than the you know, the fiduciary who can't do it. So I would suggest in advance going out and explore the various facilities around your area to see what's available. Not to you know, go in there. Just, I mean, talk to them. Take a tour. They'll give you a free lunch. Find out what goes on in those places. What do they look like? And, you know, if that doesn't look good to you, then you might need to think about what other alternatives might I have? You know, can I figure out a way to live in my home as long as I can? And what would those things look like? And you might want to have somebody come in and assess your home for hazards, because since most of these falls do occur in the home, it would be wise to have, you know, there's the obvious kinds of things, the curled up, you know, throw rug and the garage floor that's got, you know, oil on it and all that kind of stuff. The bathtub that doesn't have any grab bars, because, and you think, oh, I'm never going to fall in the bathtub. Well, I don't know how many people I know that have fallen in a bathtub. And I know I've slipped a couple times and haven't fallen, but for the grace of God, I didn't go at that time.
Well, you know, that's very true. And a lot of people need to, One of the hard things is most people want to stay in their home as long as they can. Yeah. But the hard part is getting your parents or seniors to kind of help bulletproof their house.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will resist in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's my basic advice is this. Choose safety over the pride of self-reliance.
Very well said.
That's the main thing because, you know, I fully intend to be a cranky old coot. And when I'm a cranky old coot, I probably wouldn't want to do everything by myself. And I can't do everything by myself. I can't do everything by myself now.
Well, Jake told me you already were.
I know. And he's right. But so don't be a cranky old coot. You know, if you get to that point, and you'll know it, you know it, you just don't want to admit it. Don't climb the doggone stepladder to get the Christmas ornaments out of the garage. Don't do that. Chuck and I have a client that did that, and he had just lost his son, and it was just awful. And then he goes up in the back of the garage, and he falls off the doggone ladder and hits his head, and he dies. It was awful.
It was really terrible.
And if you really don't drive very well anymore, give it up. Give it just, you know, do something else. Park the car in the garage or whatever you got to do, and that'll save a lot of things. Although you don't fall out of your car usually, I suppose that's one thing. But at least you're doing something safe. And if you don't hear really well, a lot of times not hearing what's going on is a good way to find yourself falling sometime. And so get checked out for some hearing aids. I know a lot of people think that they're awful. The technology is so good today that almost everybody can be helped, and they are inobtrusive. Most people can't even see that you have them, and they generally work pretty darn well.
And they're light years ahead of what they used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you don't see very well, go get the best eye correction you can possibly do. You know, that's really, you know, easy stuff.
And you know, Carl, speaking about that, one of the great estate planning things you can do, too, if you have an estate, yeah, is that when you get out there and if you really shouldn't be driving, you can either give your car to a grandchild or somebody who could use it, or there are a lot of charities that will come and pick up your car, mm-hmm, yeah, and you get a tax deduction for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've gotten to the point where you can't do stuff at your house that you really want to do, you know, you want to clean the house, you want to, you know, mow the lawn, you want to do all those kinds of things, and you really, really can't do it because you kind of wiggle around a little bit, well, you're going to have to get somebody to do that. Let it go. You know, you're not going to die from a dirty house. Well, you might, but the lawn.
Probably the odds are against it.
And all that stuff, it's closer to you, so you won't fall so far. But seriously, and finally, my last one and most favorite suggestion for you at this point is don't buy the 67 Cobra. It's just not appropriate for the person who can't drive very well.
Very well said. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust. And I've got just one more statistic that I want to read to you to tell you where America's really at in their planning. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified. If you want to give us a call and ask us some questions, 503-417-9595, toll free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And as promised, I want to give you the priority goals of the average American and what they are actually saving for. I want you to hear this very closely. Emergency funds, 36.8%. Now, that's a good thing. Home improvements, 19%. Not a bad thing. Vacation, 18.6%. Vehicle, 12.8%. Other, 12.8%. Now, part of that other 12.8%, hopefully, is some retirement planning. So, you know, we say it often in the financial planning practice that people spend more time planning their vacation than they do their retirement and their estate planning. And it's just a fact of life. None of us like to talk about dying, for one thing, about estate planning. You know, it's nothing we want to talk about. And none of us want to talk about, you know, that it may be us who are disabled. Speaking about that, we got a caller on the line, and David's got a comment about your falling in the home. David, are you there?
I'm here. I want to back up the cranky old attorney. Absolutely. You're right on the numbers. My mother was having memory issues, very active. She would walk miles with her dog every day and with her tennis shoes. But she had some memory issues. She fell in the driveway, broke her hip. She, within 6 months, went from memory issues to full-fledged Alzheimer's and the loss of ability to talk. And the doctor said that it just kind of laid there dormant. It took a traumatic situation like that to bring it forward.
I'm speechless. David, that's absolutely on target. And it's one of those sad things that people don't realize, I think, unless you had it happen in your family, how serious those falls can really be. And they're very common. I mean, it's really easy to take a fall. And of course, as Chuck was saying, you know, my dog is, you know, has knocked me down once or twice, and now I'm not sure that I would recommend a dog quite as large as mine for most people, but anyway, he's a nice sweet dog, but boy he's a hazard sometimes.
You know, David, you bring up a really good point though that I want to say out there to our listeners. If you've got an older parent or an older grandparent, you really need to be checking on them on a regular basis, because a lot of times they could fall and nobody's there to help them. You know, not everybody has one of those life alerts.
Yeah.
And you really have to keep an eye on them, particularly as winter's coming and it's getting, you know, it's going to get cold. And you want to make sure they have, you know, plenty of heat and that they're able to have food and stuff in their house. And check on them to see if they fall, because it happens all the time.
You know, it's interesting, Chuck. The way that we were able to persuade my mom to have one of those little gizzies on the neck necklace thing, the life alert thing.
Life alert, yeah.
Yeah, she fell in the backyard and lay there for like about an hour and a half.
That'll do it.
And so after that, she got and those things really worked really well, because, you know, she had some other falls, and I'd get this call at 3 a.m. and it would be those guys, and they say, hey, we just, you know, your mom just fell. We don't know whether she's hurt or not, but we're just taking her to the hospital. I want you to know. And you're going, wow, yeah, that's really a good thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. My mom just kept on taking it off, but my brother did respond, and the first thing he did is he took the 67 Cobra. So
yeah,
well, he was a smart man, really.
Yeah, well, yeah. The lawyer's supposed to get that Cobra.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, David. Good point and good question. Well, back to that about planning, and look. Retirement savings, 11.1% average savings rate for adults ages 25 to 54, including both employee and employer. That's, you know, actually, I got to tell you, that's kind of better than I thought it would be.
Hmm.
So, you know, I think the thing that we always try to tell people, the earlier you can start, the better, because of that miracle called compounding interest. And so the earlier you can start investing, the better for the long term. And, you know, Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. So true. And really, today's market, where the rates are not that high, it's better to have something than nothing. So putting a few pennies away, a few shekels away, can make a big difference down the road. Carl, did you have anything else on that?
Oh, not so much on the falls and sort of things, but I agree that, you know, the other thing is that ties the two things together, really, is if you know, it's a lot cheaper to prevent injury and accidents, especially the simple things you can do around the house. And there are people that might even come in and do an assessment. I think, you know, you can, you might even be able to do it through your medical insurance. I'm not sure, but there are community associations and senior organizations. And I know that there are various places where somebody can come in and assess what you might need to do in your home to make it safer. And that's a really, and they're pretty common sense things, you know, things that you can hang on to when you're in the shower, not having really loose rugs around, not having slippery floors, good railings on stairs if you have stairs, and all of those kinds of things are generally relatively simple fixes. They do cost some money, some of them much more than others maybe, but that's a lot cheaper than you know, 24-hour care.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed in my practice, and I know, Carl, you and I have talked about this with some of our clients in the past, but one of the things that's improved so much, particularly about the last 10 years, is organizations, and I'm not trying to plug these people, but I happen to know some people who do represent them and have helped clients of mine, and that's an organization called Visiting Angels. Mm-hmm. And they actually go and they actually check the financial and the historical criminal records of people. And so you don't have to worry about somebody coming to your house and stealing money or stealing something. Mm. You know, these people are in most cases licensed and bonded, and you're protected. You know, your mother or father is protected if somebody's visiting. But we know a friend of ours, and actually her visiting angel and her are a friend of ours, and we actually go to church with them. And these people do great work. I mean, I got to tell you, for an elderly person, if they have the means that can do it, and some of it is covered under Medicare, but, you know, it is a great thing to have somebody come in there to check on you that is professional, knows what they're doing. They actually, you know, help you get the rugs, those throw rugs picked up. Don't leave them on the floor because you might trip over them. And they actually help safeguard your house. And they're all professionally trained to help you get around and to be as independent as you possibly can.
And that allows you to stay in your home just that much longer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think everybody, you know, most people want to stay in their home as long as they can.
And this is a subject beyond the time that we have left, but a lot of times relatives are not really equipped to be your in-home caregiver. And they, you know,
Usually not.
And yeah. You know, some of the, you know, I think I did a segment one time on this, and one of the things I'm always concerned with is, you know, is the reason that they're, you know, they want to move into mom's house because they, you know, really want to help, or is it because they don't have a job, they have a substance abuse problem, they just got kicked out of the biker gang, and, you know, they can't, you know, and they need a place to, you know, hang their helmet.
Crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that may be an exaggeration, but not much sometimes. But anyway, it's important that you, as much as you love them, you may not want to take them into your home for that purpose, and because that can turn into really bad things, and the senior is pretty helpless in that situation, and it's very difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult to dislodge them, you know. So those are good things to think about. So, but if the person has a regular job or is, you know, they're really doing it for good family purposes, that's wonderful. That's what it used to be all the time, because that's all there was. But hopefully, you know, there are some remaining altruistic family members around.
Well, we're going to take our last break. And if you're going to call, you got to call now, because time's going to run out if you don't call. 503 503- 417-9595. Toll-free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then, make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do Investing Simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Since we are an investment show, I thought maybe I might want to kind of give a little stock market update here. And for all you people out there that have been investing in the market, I just want to give a shout-out, and I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. Approximately 80 to 85% of all market crashes occur in the month of October. Well, October's coming real fast, like tomorrow. So what I would say to you is, if you've done really well, and a lot of people have, because if we look at the S&P, year-to-date is up 12.53%. The Dow Jones is up 13.37% year to date as of the close of yesterday. So if you've done really good, don't be greedy. Take a little off the table, maybe get a little conservative right now. And I know we've talked about a crash coming, and I don't know when the crash is coming. I do believe there's going to be one. I can't tell you. My crystal ball doesn't work. It darn thing, I got to plug it in or something. I don't know. It just doesn't work. But I'm going to tell you, I think things are still overvalued, and I think we're going to have a backslide, but I don't know when, and I can't tell you. If I could, I'd write a book and become a bazillionaire on it. But the fact is, if you've had those gains and you've made some good, strong gains, now's the time. And here's some statistics to tell you why that is true. If you go back and look at the last 16 years, if we go back 16 years and 9 months, we go back to 12/31/99. The S&P, the Standard & Poor's top 500 stocks, has returned 4.27%. Folks, if you've made 12 in 9 months, that's going at about a 15% rate. I think it's time to take a little greed off the table. The NASDAQ, which is the tech stocks. Now, in good times, you would believe tech stocks would be at the top. They should be. They're the most aggressive. They should have the highest return, right? Well, for the last 16 years and 9 months, they have a return of 3.56%. Think about that. 3.56%. If you go back and look at the Dow Jones for the last 16 years, and I got to tell you, the Dow Jones back to 12/31/99. It's at 5.66%. Again, you know, a far cry from the 9 they were the 80 years before.
So well, I'm always reminded by the many times that you said too that it's a whole lot easier to take it off the top now and get out and then go back in when it, you know, rather than try to make up the loss.
Yeah, and it's and listen, it's damn near impossible to time the market. It really is. But there's a time when common sense should prevail. And what happens, though, is people get greedy and they want to make more and more and more. And you're exactly right, Carl. Taking some off the table now, putting it on the sidelines, and if the market does take a dip, you got the money to put back in and buy low. Because I'll tell you what, if that market drops 37% like it did in 2008, folks, you don't have to make 37 to get even. You got to make 58. That is a big difference of making 37 versus 58. In fact, it took 5.5 years for the average American to get back.
You know, and I think a lot of times people, I hear them talk as though it's a, I don't know, a negotiated deal or something where they feel that if they have, if they don't, you know, keep it in the market, that they've left money on the table. But that's not really true when you take the money out and hold on to it, because you may have lost a little bit of the gain if, in fact, you turned out to be wrong, but you have the money still. So
yeah, and you know what? Cash is king. And hey, if the market does drop, cash is really king, because you're buying things for pennies on the dollar. And I don't care if you're the astute buyer or you're a shopper or whatever you are, but if you can buy stuff low and sell high, that is the goal. The problem is the majority of investors in America buy high and sell low, do just the opposite. So don't be that guy or that gal who gets too greedy when the markets are roaring like they are, and they have been very good, much better than a lot of us thought, and I'm in that category. But the fact is, and listen, next week we're going to talk about the new tax bill, and I didn't talk about it yet. I've had lots of emails on it and lots of calls about it, and I haven't talked about it yet because it's really not finalized to get in for a vote yet. And so I believe that it's going to change a lot from where it's at right now. Look at the way this country's ran. Unfortunately, our politicians can't decide that 2 and 2 is 4. They got to turn it into 5. So I'm not banking on any stuff that they're presenting until it actually gets voted in and it actually becomes a law. Because as we've all seen over the last year, what you may think's going on isn't going on. And, you know, it just doesn't come out the way you think it's going to come out. You know, and so, you know, for 7 years, the Congress voted to change, replace and change Obamacare. And of course, the president never signed that into bill. Now we got a new president that said they would sign a bill and they can't pass it. What is up with that? What's up with that is a bunch of guys that ought to be retired, to tell you the truth. But the fact is, don't count on a tax bill until you have it. You know, and Carl and I do estate planning, you know, and right now we can't in good conscience tell somebody, hey, look, we're not going to have an estate tax, so don't worry about it. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to take that liability, because if that bill doesn't pass and we have an estate tax and you told somebody don't worry about it, they got a big worry.
Well, and I can't remember how many times that we've had bills going through Congress that purported to, you know, do away with the inheritance tax, and it just doesn't happen. And it's like, you know, a lot of times you talk about the Oregon inheritance tax, and I can especially say it's not going to happen here, because they're scrambling for money, and they don't, they have an inheritance tax. I don't think it brings them that much money, but it still brings them some money, and they're not going to give up a source of revenue like that, because they've got some real unfunded liabilities that they got to pay, and so they're going to be looking for new revenue, not getting rid of old ones.
You know, and that's exactly right. And I got to tell you, that's true in Washington, and it's true in California. Mm-hmm. Okay, and here's why I wanted to wait on talking about the tax bill till maybe next week, or we get a little more clarification on it. Because also one of the big things is the write off for your state income tax. Now, a lot of the states that have income tax are not very happy about this. States that don't have one don't really care. So, Carl, how's somebody get a hold of you?
You can reach me at 971-229-0585 and at carl@carljepsonlaw.com.
And you get a hold of me at pfgwm.com, 503-253-3000. And don't forget, if you got a question, go on the website, send us an email. Have a great week. And, hey, I want to shout out to the Washington State Cougars. They beat Southern Cal last night. Yeah, boy, Northwest schools I'm all in favor of. So have a great week, and we'll be back. And next week we're going to talk about the new tax code. So we'll be back.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
We do Investing Simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then, make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do Investing Simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.